The cemetery was a dreary place. It had been around for decades, constantly expanding outward into neighbouring plots of land. The cemetery was incredibly old school, opting to expand rather than exhume and reuse graves like most modern ones do. It was insidious, eating up the world around it and converting it into grave space. I had been working at the cemetery long enough. Hell, I lived there. I live in the groundskeeper's building near the church. It had been converted into a small rudimentary house for caretakers, but I was the only one. Most of my predecessors had either quit and skipped town or come up missing. I found out why soon enough. The cemetery becomes very strange at night. There were rumours it was built over a portal to hell, and most of the townsfolk brushed off the tall tales. But I believed them. Almost every night, the dead come back to life. They wandered the grounds, eating any small animals they could find that had roamed a little too far out from the woods surrounding the property. They were ravenous. On several occasions, I had seen them tear groundhogs and squirrels to shred, masticating the bloody flesh between sets of yellow, decaying teeth. I had taken to carry a gun to make me feel safe when making my rounds at night. The dead were slow and dumb enough. They would lumber about wandering the grounds looking for any piece of living flesh they could turn into their next meal. More often than not, that potential meal was me. I didn't fear the dead one-on-one. It was when they moved in groups of two or three I began to fear them. Surprisingly, the dead weren't the scariest thing about the cemetery. It was the ossuary, and the things that lurked within it. Several times I had passed by the old bone house and heard horrible growls, raspy breathing, and on one occasion, a baby crying from within. The ossuary was the one place I was too scared to tread. The dead were one thing, but the unimaginable horrors that wait for me behind the stone walls of the bone house were another. I don't know why, but the dead seemed to be working with the things in the ossuary. One night, after finishing my duties, I had been walking back to the groundskeeper's building when I heard a scream cutting across the graveyard. My blood went cold. Someone had come into the graveyard to mourn a loved one and had been attacked by a corpse. I pulled my gun from its holster and made my way across the cemetery towards the sound of the scream as quickly as I could. When I arrived, I saw three corpses dragging the body of an elderly woman to the ossuary. I sat and watched them for a moment. The corpses pushed the stone doors of the ossuary open. I couldn't help but flinch at the sight of it. I had never gone into the ossuary before, even during the day. The thought of the old bone house was enough to make me run in fear, but for some reason my body didn't move. I stood and watched the corpses drag the lifeless body of the woman through the doors. I could hear a maddening squelching noise followed by a low and deep twisted growling. I could only link it to the sound of every animal in the world's growls put together into one bone-chilling noise. The door to the ossuary then shut, pushed closed from the inside. The corpses never left the stone structure, but I could only assume that they were consumed by whatever resides within. I didn't stick around long after that. I ran to the groundskeeper's building as fast as my legs would let me. When I reached it, I practically threw myself through the door. I locked and barricaded it with everything I could find. I didn't bother sleeping that night. Deep down, I knew the things in the ossuary knew that I knew about them. It wouldn't be long before one of them got brave and ventured past the stone doors and came for me. I always felt comfort when I could see the sunlight peeking through the cracks of the newspaper I had taped over the windows. I felt safe again. I composed myself and went to work, putting everything in front of the door back where I had found it. Work during the day was mundane enough. Cut the grass, clean the tombstones, and top off the water in the vases that had flowers in them. Some days I had to dig graves for upcoming funeral services. I was annoyed whenever I had to dig a grave. I couldn't help but focus on the futility of it. Sooner or later, whoever gets put in the ground will come back up again. I've always considered telling the priests what happens at night. Maybe they could do a blessing over the grounds or something along those lines. Something about the way they spoke, the way they moved and watched me out the corner of their eyes. The priests were impossibly old, their skin paper thin, revealing highways of green and purple veins. Whenever I saw them, I couldn't help but think they were going to crumble away in the wind like old statues. But still, they persisted, carrying on with life almost as if they simply refused to die. Perhaps they already were dead. Maybe they knew the cause of all this madness. Maybe, just maybe, they were the cause. I didn't bother the priests much. They scared me. Not as much as the Augury, though. Occasionally, the priests would seek me out, giving me instructions or informing me of a pending funeral that would be taking place in the next few days. But other than that, they left me to my work. Whenever night fell, the priests would pile into their van and drive off in the direction of wherever they call home. It was the only time I felt envious of them. They got to leave the cemetery during the night, while I had to stay behind. If you're wondering why I don't leave the cemetery myself, why I don't just jump in my car and drive as fast as my engine would let me, I will not be getting into that, at least for now. Just know, in a way, I'm bound to the cemetery, unable to leave at the moment, but soon enough I will be free of this place. That night, after the priests left for the evening, I did my usual routine of walking the grounds looking for any wandering undead and for any trespassers come to mourn their loved ones after hours. After about an hour and a half of doing my rounds, I came across a lone corpse standing in a row of graves. I slowly made my way over, gun raised and at the ready. I just came up behind the corpse when suddenly it spun around, slashing me with a hand shovel that I had carelessly left out during the day and forgot to put back in the supply shed. I could feel the blood oozing down my chest as I backed away from the undead thing. Somewhere between getting attacked and trying to register what just happened, three more corpses made themselves known. They had crept forward from the darkness surrounding me. I knew what was coming. They would overpower me and drag me into the Augury, where I would face the same fate as the old woman from the night before. I raised the gun and shot the corpse holding the hand shovel, the bullet crashing into her head and blowing back chunks of debris and rotten grey matter through the exit wound. I spun around to face the corpse that was standing directly behind me, but before I could react, it was upon me. The corpse began flailing its arms, pummeling me to the ground. The dead were incredibly strong. My consciousness began to fade as the other two loomed over me. I knew what was coming. I would find myself at the Augury doors being devoured, or worse, by whatever was inside. I found myself getting dragged by the legs through the cemetery. Two corpses had my legs, while the third had been at the front. I immediately noticed the corpse at the front was holding my gun by the barrel. I thought if I could get my legs free, I could wrestle the firearm from the corpse and fight back before they brought me to the Augury doors. We were getting closer. I could smell the stench of eternal death that emanated from the Augury now. I had to act. I pulled my legs as hard as I could before my feet fell free from my work boots. The dead immediately turned to face me, but I was ready for them. I planted both my feet into the two corpses' chests and sent them falling backward. The corpse holding the gun was already on me. He swung it into my head with the force of a speeding semi. I could feel the torrent of blood streaming down my face. I pushed through the pain and threw myself into the corpse. During our scuffle, I managed to wrestle the gun free, and I pulled back the hammer and fired a single shot into the brain of the living dead creature. I took a moment to catch my breath and get up, just in time to see the other two corpses climbing to their feet. I tried to fire the gun at the closest corpse, but it wouldn't fire. Was I out of bullets already? I didn't have time to think. I regripped the gun by the barrel and swung it at the corpse as hard as I could. The second corpse fell over and I stomped its skull until its head was nothing more than putrid, rotten jelly. Suddenly, I fell forwards. I forgot about the third corpse. It was on top of me, pounding its fists into the center of my back. I felt like my spine would snap at any second. I felt helpless, like this was it. I was going to die here in the middle of the cemetery, beaten to death by a damned corpse. I had just about given up all hope before I heard a sound that made my heart skip a beat. The corpse was pulled off me, and I rolled over to see something dragging it away. I couldn't make out what it was, but I did see it drag the corpse into the Augury before disappearing from my line of sight. I stumbled to my feet and noticed the other two bodies had disappeared. My blood ran cold when I realized I had been inches away from one of the creatures that resided within the Augury. Why did it save me? Did it mean to save me? Or was the corpse just in the way of its real target? I didn't want to rethink about it any further. I just wanted to go to sleep and forget this night ever happened. Unfortunately, I couldn't do that, because the Osiri doors never shut themselves this time, and I noticed a large and bloody bite mark on my forearm. I couldn't stop and process the bite on my arm. The Ojiri was still open, and I began to hear a chorus of growls and hisses coming from within. For the first time in my life, I felt true, unadulterated fear. The kind of fear that envelops your body like a lead blanket. I turned and ran. I ran until my legs almost gave out. Finally, I reached the groundskeeper's building. I pulled the door open and threw myself inside. I went to work securing the door with the deadbolt and the large barrel bolt locks. I took a step back and caught my breath. I don't know how I managed to survive the ordeal, but I counted my blessings before turning my attention to my injuries. I walked to the bathroom and retrieved the emergency first aid kit I had bought for such an occasion. The large metal square contained two large unopened bottles of alcohol and hydrogen peroxide, a suture kit, a bottle of painkillers, and several packets of varying bandages and gauze wraps. I went to work on the first bite, wincing in pain as I emptied a quart bottle of the alcohol into the wound. I followed with the peroxide next, gagging as the wound began to bubble as the liquid went to work killing the bacteria. I wrapped the bite in gauze next, tight enough to cut off the circulation. I popped the painkiller and took off my shirt, focusing my attention on the long slice in my chest. I braced myself as I emptied almost all of the alcohol into the wound. It took every ounce of strength I had left not to scream at the pain. I took a breath and repeated the process with the peroxide. I knew I couldn't wrap my entire chest with the gauze I had on hand, and the wound was too deep to be left as it is. I swallowed hard, eyeing the suture kit. I had never done something like this before, let alone on myself. Luckily, the kit came with instructions on how to sew myself up. I threaded the needle and popped another painkiller before using the driver to force the needle through my skin. I pulled the needle through and used the tissue forceps to manipulate the wound, moving the edges of flesh closer together to close up the wound. I repeated the process until I was more or less satisfied with my work. It would leave a hideous scar, but at least I wouldn't bleed out in my sleep. The only other wound that required immediate attention was on my forehead, caused by the corpse that pistol whipped me. I could feel the cut with my fingers. It was deep, but I refused to torture myself any further with the suture kit. I decided to clean it with the alcohol and peroxide and close it with the butterfly bandages in the first aid kit. I popped another painkiller and tried to sleep. I dreamt of the creatures in the Osiri. I had never seen one before except for the shadow of the one that dragged the corpses away. I dreamt of skinless humanoids, claw-handed abominations, and spiders with human heads. I woke up in a cold sweat to the sound of a loud and powerful thumping on the front door. I walked over to the door, gun at the ready, but when I saw glorious sunlight through the cracks in the newspaper over the windows, I relaxed myself. I unlocked the door and slowly pulled it open, coming face to face with one of the priests on the other side. He met me with a scowl and hissed.
My son, do you have any idea what time it is? You've wasted half the day already. There's much to do.
I'm sorry, I must have overslept.
Not good enough. Get dressed. We require 5 graves be dug by the end of the day.
Yes, sir. The priest flashed me with a smile, revealing rows of yellow and jagged teeth before turning and walking back to the church. I hated the priest with a passion. I quickly got dressed and made my way to the supply shed while lighting a cigarette. I retrieved a shovel and a pickaxe and got to work. The entire time, my body felt like it was going to fall apart. My injuries from the night before started to take their toll. Part of me felt lazy. I could dig the graves 4 feet deep, but I always opted for 6 given the body's tendency to exhume themselves. I had just finished digging the graves when I began to smell the overwhelming scent of rot in the air. I pulled myself out of the grave and took a look around. I could see the Osiri in the distance. The door was still wide open. I could feel something watching me from within. Sooner or later, I would have to go take care of that door. I finished preparations on the graves for the upcoming funerals and made my way back to the groundskeeper's building to prepare myself for the night.
I doubled up on clothing to create a rudimentary padding should I find myself on the receiving end of another undead beatdown. Before I headed back out, I went to the bedroom and retrieved my laptop. I needed more firepower if I was going to take care of the Osiri doors. I powered on the laptop and googled where the nearest Cabela's was. It was close enough and it opened at 9 in the morning. From there I could pick out something with enough stopping power to deal with the things in the old bone house. Suddenly, I heard the door being pushed open. I dropped everything and went for my gun. I grabbed my revolver and made my way out of the bedroom to find a maggot sitting in the middle of the room. This was no ordinary maggot though. It was about 3 to 4 feet long and was flailing wildly back and forth. Something else had to have been there. That thing couldn't have made it all the way in here from wherever it came from. I leveled the gun and aimed at where I assumed the maggot's head would be and fired. Miss. Suddenly, the monstrous maggot began to squeak before sprouting 8 bone-like appendages. I stumbled backwards, unsure of what I was looking at. The maggot then scurried across the floor towards me. I fired another 2 rounds at the thing before diving out of the way of the spiderworm's path. I sprang to my feet, turning to face the monstrosity, but before I could react, the thing had leapt through the air, latching onto my chest. I winced as the legs tore into my skin. I tried to pull the creature off me, but its grip was too strong. Before I knew it, the head of the maggot was split open, revealing rows of razor-sharp teeth. I pulled back, trying to gain distance from the maggot's maw, but it was no good. I jabbed the creature in the side with the barrel of my revolver and pulled the trigger rapidly, depositing the final 3 rounds of the gun into the creature's side. The spider maggot fell to the floor, its body lifeless. I stomped on the thing about 6 times before I felt satisfied. I decided to bury it. Stepping over the creature, I made my way to the door before stopping in my tracks. I could see it. The beast in the darkness. Its eyes glowing like hot coals in the night. It was huge. Its body reminiscent of a champion bodybuilder. We stared at each other for a while before it turned and retreated into the osiery. After burying the maggot, I barricaded myself in the groundskeeper's building. Whatever was in the osiery was toying with me. I no longer felt safe in the groundskeeper's building, and I felt insignificant like an ant in a world of children with magnifying glasses. When the sun rose, I decided it was time to up my firepower. I made my way through the cemetery into the parking lot. The priest pulled onto the property in their van as I reached my truck. I paid them no mind, ignoring their prying eyes as I pulled out and headed to the Cabela's. During my drive, I found myself pulling over a handful of times to vomit. The stress and anxiety started to take their toll. After pulling into the parking lot, I composed myself and headed inside. I decided on a black Winchester Defender, 12 gauge, a pump action that held 6 rounds. I wish I could have chosen something with a larger capacity, but it was all I could afford on the budget I had. I grabbed 2 boxes of shells and another box of bullets for the revolver. I love Arizona. No waiting periods on purchasing a gun. After piling everything into the truck, I made my way to the liquor store to pick up a few bottles of vodka and Everclear. I ended up buying 10 bottles of each. The clerk was very inquisitive during the transaction.
So, you having a party tonight?
No.
Oh, wait. You're the freak that works at the graveyard, right? Planning on partying with the dead, huh?
I stared at him for a moment before swiping my card, grabbing my stuff and leaving. By the time I got back to the cemetery, it was almost 5 in the evening. I carried everything back to the groundskeeper's building and got to work. I unboxed the shotgun, loaded it, and attached the sling. I could keep it strapped to my shoulder rather than carry it around all night. After that, I loaded the Python with new bullets and stuck it in its holster. Finally, the liquor. I opened 1 bottle and downed half of it before converting 2 of them into Molotov cocktails. I strapped the shotgun around my shoulder and attached the revolver holster to my hip before grabbing the Molotovs and shoving 1 in each of my back pockets. I headed out the door to the orgy before coming across a group of corpses headed straight for me. There were 5 of them. I pulled the revolver and fired. One ducked to the left while the others kept their path. I reholstered the gun and pulled out one of the Molotovs. I lit the bottle and tossed it at the group's feet. I stepped back and watched as the corpses burned. 3 of them fell over and that was that. But the other 2 didn't give up so easily. The burning corpses continued towards me. I pulled the gun again and fired. Even when lit ablaze, the 2 smart ones were quick on their feet. They ducked out of the way and, as they got closer, I could see the source of their intelligence. I could see 8 pairs of bony legs stuck in their sides. The maggots. They must have burrowed into their spines, attaching themselves to the brainstem piloting them. I retreated backwards, putting space between me and the looming danger. If I couldn't get a shot in, I could wait it out. Let them burn themselves out, literally. After about a minute of evading, the two corpses finally fell over, lifeless. I put a bullet in each of their brains, ensuring that they won't get back up. I continued towards the ogre, pulling the shotgun from my shoulder. I racked the slide and pushed on. When I finally reached the bone house, I froze. I couldn't do it. I was too scared. I had to fight my own instinct to get this close. I swallowed and moved closer. I could hear wet, squelching noises from within. I stuck my head around the doorway and saw inside. Rows of bones lining the walls. I could make out some sort of pit in the center of the room. After about 20 seconds, I saw 10 pairs of bright red eyes in the darkness. I panicked, pulling the second Molotov from my back pocket. I lit the bottle and threw it through the doorway. I could hear ear-shattering roars from inside. I acted fast, pulling the heavy stone door closed. The noises persisted. I fell backwards and caught my breath. My heart felt like it was going to explode. Unfortunately, I didn't have time to rest. I could hear scratching on the other side of the stone door. I got up and ran for the groundskeeper's building, looking over my shoulder almost the entire way there. When I got back inside, I slammed the door shut, made my way over to the kitchen counter and downed the rest of the opened bottle of vodka. Even after closing the ogre doors, I didn't feel better. There were more of those monsters than I thought. That, coupled with the spider maggots and super corpses, it was only a matter of time before the inevitable anxiety attack. I fell in on myself, tears flowing from my eyes. I struggled to breathe but couldn't find my breath. I clutched at my chest, it felt like my heart was giving out. I stood like that for about an hour. When I finally came to my senses, I tried to sleep. The next day, things went the smoothest they had ever gone. The priests were surprisingly nice to me, even after finding the large patch of burnt dead grass in the rows of graves. Even during the night, I didn't see any corpses, maggots, or monsters. Things felt calm. Like the calm before a terrible storm. Little did I know, that storm was closer than I thought. The week following the Molotov and the ogre was quiet for the most part. There were less corpses roaming the grounds at night and the ogre had gone quiet. But deep down, I knew it wasn't over. Seeing the pit in the center of the ogre confirmed the rumor that had been circling the town. The cemetery was built on some sort of portal to the underworld. It also confirmed my suspicions of the priests in a way. They had to have known about all this, but why were they keeping it quiet? Regardless, I needed to be on my toes. I was almost definitely on the creatures in the bone house's radar, and that did not bode well for me in the slightest. I went back to the Cabela's and picked up more ammunition along with a large bowie knife and machete. If it came down to it and I found myself surrounded by the undead, I wouldn't go down without taking a few more of those things with me. After returning to the cemetery, I was met by one of the priests. He informed me that a terrible accident had occurred today. A group of bikers had been struck and killed by a drunk driver and that I would need to prepare 6 graves for the end of the day tomorrow. I nodded to him and made my way inside to prepare myself for the work that lay ahead of me. During the day, I must have blacked out while digging the graves because I found myself standing before the ogre, totally transfixed on the doors. Something inside me was telling me to open them, an alien voice in the back of my head, telling me if I just opened those doors, all my problems would be over. I began to shake. I didn't know why, but some morbid curiosity told me to enter the ogre. Perhaps it was the ogre itself. Maybe the old bone house possessed some power that could influence me into entering, sealing my fate. I tried to resist, but my body began to move on its own. Before I could realize what was happening, I had pushed open one of the heavy stone doors. Suddenly, a low voice emerged from the ogre telling me to enter. I slowly stepped back. I knew if I walked through that doorway, I would die. The door would slam shut behind me and I would be at the mercy of whatever laid within. My heart began to race, but my body did not comply. I stepped through the doorway and was met with a tall figure wearing a tattered black cloak. The figure told me not to be afraid, but that was easier said than done.
Be not afraid, child.
I stuttered, trying to find words. Who are you? What do you want?
Why do you destroy them?
What?
My children, why do you kill them?
The corpses? They've killed people. They're monsters. Suddenly the cloaked figure began to float. His voice became deeper and more commanding.
The post-mortals are mine. Who are you to pass judgment on them?
I stepped back, half expecting the thing floating in the center of the room to descend upon me, dragging me to hell or wherever it came from. They are killing people. Innocent people. They have to be stopped. If left unchecked, they could kill every living thing they come across. The world would end.
That is not your decision to make, boy.
Suddenly the cloaked figure was gone, and I was all alone in the augury. I saw the pit in the center of the room and stepped forward, peeking over the edge. What I saw in the abyssal depths of that pit made my blood run cold and my body freeze in place. I turned and ran from the augury, pulling the door closed on my way out. I ran to the groundskeeper's building and began to prepare myself for later in the night. I fashioned a knife belt out of the old tool belt in the supply shed and the holster that held my revolver. I strapped the machete to the belt and duct taped the bowie knife to the shotgun, crafting a makeshift bayonet. Night fell and I watched from the window as all but one priest piled into their van and headed off. Why was one staying behind? Never mind, it didn't matter. If they didn't know what was happening in the cemetery after sundown, then they surely would now. About 3 hours after sundown, about 8 corpses began to wander the grounds. I grabbed my weapons and headed out towards the church. I killed 2 of them before heading inside. The priest made himself known, visibly upset that I had set foot in the church.
What are you doing in here? Leave now!
Do you have any idea what's going on outside? The dead have risen. We need to leave now.
My boy, you won't be going anywhere.
Suddenly the priest pounced on me with a speed and strength that did not match his visible frail and weak frame. He wrapped his bony hands around my throat and began to squeeze the life from my body. I fought to stay awake with every ounce of strength I could muster, but it was no good. I had to get him off of me, or I was as good as dead. I had dropped the shotgun when the priest pounced, but I still had the machete and revolver on my tool belt. I grabbed the revolver and stuck it into the priest's torso, unloading all 6 shots into his body. The priest rolled off me, moaning in pain, but I knew it wouldn't be good enough to keep him down. He wasn't human. I needed to act fast if I wanted to keep the upper hand. I reholstered the revolver and grabbed the machete. I raised it above my head and brought it down onto the priest's neck. The blade was sharp. Really sharp. It only took 2 swings to completely decapitate the priest's head from his body. I watched for a moment as a thick black fluid poured from the wound. I didn't have time to question what just happened. All I knew was that my suspicions were correct. The priest had something to do with the strange things happening in the cemetery. I retrieved the shotgun and slung it over my shoulder before turning my attention to the dead nightmare priest. I had to hide the body. The others would know something was wrong, but I had to try. I quickly ran to the supply shed, killing another 3 corpses on the way there, and retrieved a burlap sack to hold the severed head. I ran back to the church and placed the egg-shaped head into the bag before tying it to my belt and grabbing the body, throwing it over my shoulder. The priest was incredibly light, making it easy to get the body to my truck as quickly as possible. I made it to my truck and threw the head and body into the bed, covering them with a tarp and taking off towards the lake. Crocodiles were illegal in Arizona, but people still kept them as pets, and when they got too big or people just end up getting tired of them, they dumped them in the local lakes. One such lake was about 40 miles from the cemetery. It would be a long trip, but it needed to be done. About 2 hours later, I finally arrived at the lake. I grabbed the body and head from the bed of my truck and headed towards the water. I didn't have to search long for a place to dump the body. At the edge of the water, several pairs of reflective eyes emerged from underneath the surface. I walked a little closer before dumping the body. Only a few seconds passed before the crocodiles emerged from the water and tore the remains of the priest to shreds. I watched for a minute or two before turning and heading back to the truck. After stopping at a gas station on the way back to the cemetery, I went in to grab a coffee and pay for the gas. After paying, I walked back towards the truck and I could have sworn I saw someone watching me from the darkness. I was getting paranoid. I needed to get back to the cemetery and barricade myself in the groundskeeper's building until morning. Unfortunately, I couldn't do that. After pulling into the cemetery's parking lot, I noticed another vehicle that didn't belong. It wasn't the priest's van. It was a rusted El Camino. I grabbed my shotgun from the passenger seat and headed into the cemetery to find whoever was trespassing on the grounds after dark. I searched all over the grounds, but I couldn't find anybody. I gave up and went into the groundskeeper's building to get some sleep. When I opened the door, I raised my shotgun instinctively at the man standing in the middle of the room. He turned to face me and smirked. He was an older man, a weathered face covered in scars masked by a bushy white beard stained yellow around the mouth from years of cigarette smoking. He wore an old olive green army coat and matching cargo pants. I asked him who he was and what he was doing here. He chuckled and told me his name was Ernest, and that he used to work at the cemetery several years back. Ernest and I sat and talked for hours. We talked about the undead roaming the grounds and the creatures in the ossuary. Ernest told me that he had left the cemetery out of fear, but if left unchecked, the undead abominations in the cemetery would surely bring out the end of the world as we know it. He began travelling the country trying to piece together some sort of explanation or even find a way to stop them. He spent roughly 18 years trying to find a solution and came up with nothing, dashing any hopes of stopping this once and for all.
Got any more booze?
Ernest asked with a half-frowned smile on his face. Yeah, I think so. Check the fridge. Also, while you're up, do you mind grabbing a pack of smokes?
Sure.
Ernest said, getting up from his chair and making his way over to the fridge. He opened the door and began to rummage through the contents, pushing aside old takeout boxes and expired cartons of milk.
Aha! Uh-huh.
He shouted, retrieving two solo cans of beer from the very back of the fridge. Harrow's Supreme, to be exact. Oh, dude, not them. They've been sitting there for years. Who knows what's wrong with those? I said back with a chuckle, nodding to the top of the can at the strange grey mould forming near the pool tab.
Ah, shit.
Ernest said with a sigh as he tossed the cans into the trash.
Here's your smokes.
I caught the pack and started to beat it against the back of my hand to pack the tobacco as I started for the door. I'll be back in a minute, okay? I said over my shoulder as I walked through the door to the outside to smoke my cigarette. I lit it and stopped in my tracks at the shadowy figure standing mere feet away from me. It was humanoid enough. It had a head, two arms, two legs, and a torso like any other person. What threw me off was the height. They had to have been over 8 feet tall. We just stood there for a while, staring at one another before I took a step back towards the door to get Ernest. Before I knew it, the thing had lunged at me and pinned me against the ground. I screamed for Ernest, trying to wrestle free from the monster's grasp before I heard the sound of the door being kicked out and the familiar sound of a shotgun being racked.
Holy Jesus, Lord!
He shouted out before firing a single shot center mass at the creature, sending it flying off me. I got to my feet and watched as the creature squirmed on the ground for just a moment. Its movements were similar to that of a cockroach who just got a face full of bug spray. Finish that thing off, I said to Ernest as he started to slowly make his way over to that thing. Suddenly, it jumped up and scurried away on all fours straight towards the ossuary. Ernest fired another two times trying to stop it from reaching its destination, but it was no good. This was the second time I had been inches away from one of those abominations. I couldn't help but shake the fear at the fact, had Ernest not have been there, I would have been dead. I walked over to Ernest to thank him for saving me, but my thanks were cut short on account of the flashing blue and red lights that had just pulled into the parking lot.